أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Know that this is the Asr Salat session 4 or 5. Now that we have spoken together about Vilayat so much that you are almost on the same frequencies. Now that we are on the same frequencies, what I would like to add to our sessions is Assalamu alaikum to Fazl. So that what it is, we always start with a type of either it's very short, 2-3 minutes, either a ziyarat or a dua, something related to Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, so that we get energized at the beginning of our sessions. So today what I have in mind to put here is the ziyarat of Imam, the source of ziyarat is Imam Zaman alayhi salam. It's about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and it's called ziyarat Nawahi Muqaddasi. I don't know if you have heard this or not. Nawahi Muqaddasi. It's very beautiful ziyarat. I play 3 to 4 minutes and then inshallah we start our normal talk.
السلام على آدم صفوة الله من خليقته السلام على شريف ولي الله وخيرته السلام على إبليس القائم لله بحجته السلام على نوح المجاب في دعوته السلام على هود الممدود من الله بمعونته السلام على صالح الذي توجه الله بكرامته السلام على إبراهيم الذي حباه الله بخلته السلام على إسماعيل الذي فداه الله بذبح عظيم من جنته السلام على إسحاق الذي جعل الله النبوة في ذريته السلام على يعقوب الذي رد الله عليه بصره برحمته السلام على يوسف الذي نجاه الله من الجب بعظمته السلام على موسى الذي فلق الله البحر له بقدرته السلام على هارون الذي خصه الله بنبوته السلام على شعيب الذي نصره الله على أمته السلام على داود الذي تاب الله عليه من خطيئته السلام على سليمان الذي ذلت له الجن بعزته السلام على أيوب الذي شفاه الله من علته السلام على يونس الذي أنجز الله له مضمون عدته السلام على عزير الذي أحياه الله بعد ميتته السلام على زكريا الصابر في محنته السلام على يحيى الذي أزلفه الله بشهادته السلام على عيسى روح الله وكلمته السلام على محمد حبيب الله وصفوته السلام على أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب المخصوص بأخوتي. السلام على فاطمة الزهراء ابنتي. السلام على أبي محمد الحسن وصي أبيه وخليفتي. السلام على الحسين الذي سمحت نفسه بمهجتي. السلام على من أطاع الله في سره وعلانيتي. السلام على من جعل الله الشفاء في تربتي. السلام على من الإجابة تحت قبتي. السلام على من الأئمة من ذريتي. السلام على ابن خاشم الأنبياء.
Okay, inshallah we seek the assistance and the energy and the fahm and idrak from Imam Zaman alayhi salam and A'imma Ma'sumi. What we discussed in the last few weeks, we were talking about Asrar al-Salat. But last week I asked you about Mahiyat, and some of you sent me some emails about Mahiyat and Wujud. So I take about 10 to 15 minutes to talk about the issue of Mahiyat and Wujud again, so that we develop a better understanding. As a whole, this issue from the emails I saw, there was not a fundamental problem in your understanding of Mahiyat, but what I understood is there is a need for further understanding and finding out what it is. Some of you have told me in one of the emails, I see that person had taken Mahiyat and matter as the same. Mahiyat and madde or matter are not the same. What it is, let's start with just in the alami word and lapse, see how it is. We say table exists, computer exists, Saeed exists, Fatima exists, this book exists, horse exists. You can just name, if you can carry on, you want to say something is there, you say the wall exists, the house exists. What you noticed is among all of these, one thing is common, that is the existence. They all exist. But there is one part of this sentence or statement which that one part makes all of this different from each other. When you say Sayyid exists and then you say Fatima exists, immediately with referring to Sayyid and Fatima, you have said these are two different things. When you say Sayyid exists and computer exists, you have said Sayyid is different from computer. That thing which differentiate between Sayyid and computer, it is probably again referred to as Mahiyat. You can see Mahiyat is what makes me Sayyid. All total and collection of my limitations as a whole. Because when I say limitation, every creature is a combination of limitations. Some with further limitations, some with less limitations, but as a whole, we are not but collection of limitations. Which is also, it is referred to as, they say, Jadwal al-Wujudi, Jadwal al-Wujud. The table of existence, they also refer to this, to it as well. So, when we say Sayyid exists, you can see in your intellect, you can in your mind, you can in your brain, you can see there is two things to Sayyid. One is wujud, that it exists, and the other thing is what is Sayyid. So, they say the whatness, in English is referred to as whatness. W-H-A-T, right? And N-E-S-S. Whatness of Sayyid? What is whatness of Sayyid? Or let me give you a simpler example. Whatness of water. Whatness of water is what makes water that with things that when you drink, if you feel that that tabrid, that coldness in it, right? You can say characteristic, but when I explain more, then you will see. Probably, we are not talking about chemical characteristics or physical characteristics only. It's a little more than that. When we say whatness, there is a whatness to water and there is an existence to water. So that's why in Arabic they have said mahiyat. The word mahiyat itself is mahiyat, is answer to mahiyat. Mahiyat means what is that? So what is that? So the answer to this question of mahiyya is mahiyyat. So for instance, when you say mahiyya, you say book. What is this book? The moment I say book, what comes to your mind? Book is a collection of certain written material in what you call covered and bounded together, right? That is called a book. That very definition is the mahiyyat of it. But this mahiyyat can exist and may exist and may not exist. Similarly, you can say, let's say we talk about a mahiyat which has not come to existence yet. Imagine, I want to write a book. That book is not out yet. I want to make a book. I want to name it Asrar al-Salat, for instance. That book of Asrar al-Salat, with certain content that I have in mind, which makes that total overall mahiyat of that book does not exist yet. But there is, I can mention a mahiyat for it. Do you see the point? I can mention a mahiyat for that book. That book, with the content of it, with what is in that, is called that mahiyat. But after I write it down, put it into papers and bound it and make cover it, that then becomes the book of Asrar al-Salat, for instance. That is so, before it, let's say, no, it's non-existence, but next month it can be existent. So as you see, there is wujud into it and there is mahiyat into it. But this mahiyat, remember, when it comes to us, human beings, this mahiyat is not about our physical characteristics. Because I have I have other characteristics which is not physical at all. Let's say I have mahabbat, a type of mahabbat, right? I have emotions like love, hate, and love of certain people, hate of certain people. So these are a collection of what makes me Sa'id, as I am. That is my mahiyat. But so if you can see my mahiyat, also my nafs is in my mahiyat. So in my mahiyat also my nafs is there. But when it comes to physical presence, that bodily I'm sitting here, that is a lower version of Sa'id. Sa'id as a whole, without even this physical body, has got an existence, right? That existence of Sa'id is all those things he knows, all those things, all those emotions of hate and love in him, but even without body. But when you refer to my body, body is usually a lower version of my nafs. Inshallah, if we go to this topic later on, you will see that we have discussed it, we have just referred to it before, that we have got different levels of existence. We have level of ruh, we have level of qalb, we have level of body, but body is our lowest level of existence. So mahiyat and wujud, outside, they are not separate. When you see, you cannot separate. For instance, you look at this computer, you cannot separate in reality the existence of this computer from its mahiyat. You can only do it in your mind. You cannot in reality make that happen. So, that also I had given an example before about mahiyat and wujud. That was when this room, as an example, becomes in absolute darkness. And make, in your mind, make light as wujud. When this room is in absolute darkness, everything still exists in this room. The only thing is, it cannot be seen. Right? So all mahiyats exist. My mahiyat, your mahiyat, table, computer, chairs, everything. But imagine that is in mahiyat, that is in a state of non-existence. Imagine it's opened and light has come through. Then everything can be seen. If you take that light which comes in the room and everything can be seen as wujud, wujud and existence, then you can see mahiyat without wujud makes sense as well. And what we said about, especially about issue of mahiyat and wujud, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for every creation, Allah has got knowledge to it before it is created. When I say knowledge about it, that is, Allah's knowledge about all the creatures are always there. It's not, Allah is not working towards making knowledge about this and knowledge about that. It is not, Allah is not making this universe of planet of Earth and then decide tomorrow, let me make another planet somewhere else. Everything is already in the ilm of Allah, in the knowledge of Allah. While we are in the knowledge of Allah, Arafa, we are not still existent. Once Allah gives wujud and bring us out from His knowledge, then we come to existence. So, as you see, what really matters most and what are all our kamalat, all our goodnesses, all our good attributes comes from the wujud. Because Allah, He says, نُفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. Allah blows from His ruh in human being. That blow of Allah in our ruh is that potentialities which are potentialities of good attributes in us. But what makes, when it becomes that we do not follow the way of Allah and we become, God forbid, bad people, that is their mahiyat. Or even now us, though all those bad things that we do, they come from our mahiyat. Any good and any kamal and any perfection in us, that comes from our wujud. Because wujud is only source of kamal. The only source of kamal is wujud. And the only source of shar, you know shar, everyone knows what is shar, is non-existence. Non-existence is everything which you can see shar, it is either itself, there is a non-existential aspect to it, or it creates a non-existence. That is shar. So every khair is from wujud. So why we see, for instance, earthquake. Earthquake itself, you do not see there is no non-existence to it. But earthquake creates non-existence. That then it looks like shar to you. And for instance, ignorance is shar. Why it is shar? Because it is non-existence of knowledge. In the non-existence of knowledge, then shurur or shar appear. So I pass from here, and inshallah, as I said, every week from now, we give about half of the time to a topic like this. We still continue on wujud and mahiyat, because the main thing, the fundamental, this issue of mahiyat and wujud is very fundamental issue. And later on we will discuss and study which one is principle. Is it mahiyat which is principle or wujud is principle? When I say principle, that means which one is first, which one is prime, which one of them is must be, and the other wujud is, the other one is taba or zil or shadow of that. Yes.
Is it mahiyat is the absence of?
The question, I repeat, the question is whether mahiyat is non-existential as opposed to wujud. Yeah? Is that what you say? Mahiyat, see, remember, mahiyat is creation of Allah itself, by itself, right? Allah has created that. And wujud is also, Allah Himself is wujud too. Then Allah puts wujud into what He has made, which is mahiyat. Mahiyat here is not non-existential. Mahiyat as itself is what is called wujud tab'i or tab'i. That means it's like the relationship of tree with its shadow. As you see, tree is the most important thing. Shadow always exists with the tree. You cannot help it. Always, for everything, when it's under the sun, there is a shadow. So it is not non-existential. Itself is existential. But it is like a shadow. It's not, as opposed to wujud, it is a secondary type of wujud. You understand? Because There is one thing about samadiyat of Allah. Samadiyat of Allah is an issue that when we recite in Surah Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad. When you say Qul huwallahu ahad, you're saying Allah is wahid, one. When you say Allah is samad, then you're saying there is nowhere without Allah. Samadiyat means fullness. So if any notion leads to somewhere that we call it non-existential as such that is being created by Allah, then you're cancelling the notion of samadiyat. But we can say that for between ignorance and ilm, yes. Ignorance is where there is no ilm there. But mahiyat is not where there is no wujud. In fact, mahiyat is also a wujud by itself. Right? Sorry?
Is
as I said, wujud tab'i. Tab'i means like a shadow. This is a lower version of wujud, if you like. It is the wujud. See, if you compare wujud and mahiyat, you can say, look at it this way as well. Wujud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any mahiyat. What does that mean? That means Allah is mere wujud. Right? Allah is only wujud. The moment you talk about mahiyat, you are talking about putting limitations to a wujud. That is how mahiyat is made. Limitations to wujud. If I've given you this example before. If you take this table, this is just an example. You take the surface of this table as wujud. Imagine this is wujud and there is nothing else around it. This is the only thing we have is this table. Okay, now we want to make something, create something out of the surface of this table. What we do? We take a knife or something, a saw, and we cut a triangle. Okay? The moment you cut a triangle, you have put a limitation to the surface. Imagine that when you cut this triangle out of the surface, still this table is, it remains in its full wujud. That triangle does not become absent here. It can only make another triangle. This is an assumption. Okay? In this assumption, the whole surface of this table is wujud. It's all wujud. The moment you cut something out of it, becomes limitation. The difference between this example is, because problem is when it comes to us talk and use words, you have limitations of examples even. When a mahiyat is made from wujud of Allah, still it doesn't deduct anything from Allah's wujud. It does not deduct anything. But when we cut a triangle from this table, we have deducted it. That triangle part becomes empty here. So I don't know if example could help or not. Allah is mere wujud dolar. When Allah, also maybe this rule help. Nothing can be made from nothingness. Everything will be made from something. Right? From Adam, it's not possible to make wujud. Okay? This is a lot of stories behind this. You might come back to me later and show me things that shows Allah has created things from Adam. Those have explanations. They are not a real Adam. But nothing comes from nothingness. Everything should come from a wujud. So Allah, when the simple reasoning that nothing can be created from nothingness is when Allah wants to make something, first He has knowledge about that thing, okay? And when Allah has knowledge about that thing, so there should be an existence so that Allah has knowledge. We cannot say Allah's knowledge encompasses Adam. This statement does not make sense. So anything that Allah makes must have a wujud so that Allah can have ilm onto it. So nothing comes out of nothingness. Everything comes from wujud. So Allah, for Allah creating the mahiyat, He creates mahiyat from the wujud. But the moment wujud becomes that mere and absolute wujud of Allah, which is just the wujud and nothing else, the moment there is a limitation to it, that mahiyat is made. But your mahiyat is made different, but your mahiyat is different, and my mahiyat is different, and this mahiyat is different. Okay? So mahiyat is not non-existential. It is existential.
When you said that the mahiyat is the character of the
character, let's...
I can't express my feeling, but it's sort of...
No, I don't. I accept it. Except when you say character, because you are not talking about the word, you are talking about meanings behind the word. When you say character, but the meaning of character in your mind is all everything about that particular thing. Yes, you are right. That is mahiyat. But why I cannot always agree with the term character, because character has still does not encompass the whole thing. When you say character of this iron sheet, you understand something different. You do not understand all the mahiyat of that. But character, if you mean that what I just explained, that all the limitations and all that existential table of this computer as its character, I agree with it. Yes, it is character. But you have to redefine character in your mind. Wujud cannot be divided.
Can you give this
Mr. Rasan, give us explanation to the Mahiyah, on one line or two lines? Mahiyah? The simplest and shortest version of definition of Mahiyah is this. The answer to the question of Mahiyah, that is Mahiyat. Right? So, well, again, you see, it's very short. But you look at the notion. Then you say, some of you ask another person, Mahiyah. And when I say computer, I have explained everything for you, isn't it? When I said computer, in this one word, computer, everything lies there. I don't need to explain any more than that. Right? That's the mahiyat. If somebody say mahiyat and I say cup, then you understand what is a cup. Cup is something with a certain shape. It contains something. That is the mahiyat of it. Okay? So the shortest definition is the answer to the question of mahiyat. Or in English we can say it the whatness. Whatness of everything is mahiyat. Mahiyat. Wujud cannot be divided. Very good question. Remember, Fatima, sometimes your questions will lead to a very vast topic. That's why I cannot explain I cannot answer immediately and everything in full. But I explained, yes, very good point that you raised. Wujud is basit. Basit means something indivisible. Indivisible. You cannot divide it. So anything that you cannot divide it is called basit. Basit in Arabic with ta. Okay? So remember, the meanings of a lot of these words, the meanings of some of these words that I'm telling you, you have a default meaning for it. You should redefine. When it comes to our type of topic and to our context, some of the meanings get a little changed. They become even more encompassing. So, basit is something which is not dividable. Wujud is not dividable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dividable. When He says, نُفِخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, that's exactly the reason that we say we are manifestation of Allah. Because if Allah was dividable, that would have meant Allah has taken some of His ruh and put in us and we have become the human being. No, because wujud, which is Allah, and Allah cannot be divided, so when He says نُفِخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, it is not, we have not become separated from Allah. That explanation is exactly why we have it here. It is your manifestation, your tajalli of Allah in our ruh. Our ruh is a tajalli of Allah. This topic and this notion goes to a very, very fortunate, later on inshallah if we have time, and we get into it, is very spiritual topic of the issue of wujud itself and that it cannot be divided. Okay, so if you allow me, I move into the Asrar of Salat. Last week when I spoke about Salat and I spoke about what the Salat is, I received an email in which, or it wasn't email, I think it was email, somebody had told me, so our Salat is rubbish then with the way you explained. And I felt very bad really that, how come I didn't mean to say anybody's salat is rubbish. But I didn't even use that word. That was a perception of somebody that means that. No. See, the reason we are getting together here, it is not my, say, my mission, my role is not here to just, we talk and we only praise each other. We have to talk about really the nawaqis, the imperfections that we have. And I did not even judge anybody's salat. When did I say that? I only said what A'imma alayhi salam has said about salat. And when we compare ourselves with that type of salat, then we feel that, right? But as it's very important to notice this. This is the universe of matter. We live in the universe of matter. Universe of matter, an important characteristic of it is graduation. Nothing happens overnight. Everything should takes time. We should graduate in it. So that means, yes, Allah has given us the time and chance, so we gradually bring up our salat every day, make it better with the way Allah has said. But once we reach to that stage, that inshallah we have become disengaged from the materialistic life, we have reached to a higher levels of our existence, then that in that level there is no matter of time anymore. Alaykum as-salam. In that level, the notion of time does not exist anymore. So once you tap, this is the point, once you tap, whether it's at your age of 20 or 30 or 50, you tap to that level of salat, that means your ruh has reached that level, then your past is over. Because we have discussed this, that insan, the whole issue about our learning and everything we do is about becoming. We are not memorizing. It is that we have to become. Once you have become something, then you have become that. Do you understand what I say? Okay, thank you. So, our salat, inshallah, is acceptable, so long as the point is what I wanted to say, which I want to continue. Why I said that, so you still do not get me wrong. I still want to continue about what, for instance, I refer to what Allama Hasanzade says. Allama Hasanzade is one of the scholars of Iran, very known for his spiritual works. So a lot of things that I talk about is either from Allama Hasanzade or Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi. Mostly an Allama Tabatabai. He says, O Allah, everyone is doing istighfar from his sin. I do istighfar from my ibadat. What does that mean? Ibadat, do we need to do istighfar from our ibadat? What he is talking about, he is referring to the kayfiyat and the quality of our ibadat. He is not saying that ibadat does not need istighfar. So, what we have to do, we have to revitalize of our ibadat. See, one of the things about, you remember I told you about Imam Khomeini's explanation about how to make focus, create focus in our namaz and in our salat, that we have to take the root of love for this alam from our heart. Okay? But there are people I know, we have heard from them, we have seen some of them, there are people, they have got all sorts of focus. They are very good in their focus. They have good concentration when they are talking to Allah. They are really with Allah. Okay? I'm talking about different type of concentration, different types of people. But they are like that so long as everything is properly managed and arranged in their life. They have no shortage of money, they have no shortage of meat in their freezers, and they have no problem around, whatever they want is there. The children are healthy, his, her, whatever, health is good. Good husband, good wife, good children, good money, good life, right? This is one level, yes. Not everyone can also be like that. This is also a level itself, that then we have our good focus. The moment the slightest problem arises, our focus is totally gone. The moment, let's say, we go to doctor, he says, you have to redo your blood test, I'm doubtful about something, then all my salat becomes harab, gone. The moment when I see, for instance, my daughter and her husband quarrel, then my salat goes. When I see they want to separate, see, different people have different type of concerns in life. But what I'm referring to as a whole is, this is a level of also concentration. That we have concentration so long as we have no problem. But we have to move from this state. We have to reach to a state that when you are with Allah, you are with Allah. You do not remember anything else. Whether you have got a bad mark in university or is be either that you have problem with your parents or whatever. When you are with Allah, you have to be with Allah only. So it's a good thing, as I said last week, Salat is mizan. Mizan means something that you can measure yourself with. See when you start and you say Allahu Akbar, what are those things which come into your mind? That's your mizan. You can see how your Salat is. Forget about what I say. You present your own Salat to yourself. And see in your Salat whether you are thinking about the problems you have, whether you are thinking, because we can have different type of problems. We can have a problem of all materialistic nature. We can have even problem of understanding of ma'arif. This is also a problem. These are different ways, but still we should not be even in that level. I refer you to Surah Maryam, verse number 59. فَخَلَفَ فَمَنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَذَاءُ السَّلَاةَ فَاتَّبِعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْغَوْنَ غَيَّا. This is telling us how our salat becomes zayi. You know what is zayi, right? Waste, kharab. Salat becomes zayi when we follow our shahawat. Our shahawat is our wants, the things we want very much. That is our shahawat. That makes the salat kharab, of no value or very little value. So, if any of us have got any question, you have to see what is that making our salat like that. You have to go and solve those problems. But a very important issue is, number one issue in fact is, you have to get that feeling. See if you get, let's say, if I'm told today, my doctor tells me that you have got this problem and this, you may not live long and you have, I don't know, a type of cancer or whatever. What do I do? Normally if this happens for anyone. We start to jump up and down. Everyone we see say, oh, please do pray for me. Now that you are going to Hajj, please don't forget me. Then whoever we see, we ask a way out. We try to find doctor. If we are told that there is a doctor in a village in those remote areas of Kurdistan in Iraq or in Iran that is on top of a mountain, somebody lives there, that he might be able to give you some help, that treats you. What do we do? We will have no hesitation to do whatever we do, to take whatever it takes to make sure we go to there and we see that person. That is when something, we become aware of some physical problem we have. That's exactly the same thing. If we have that problem, if we can create that anxiety in our heart, anxiety that we are worried about our salat, then what happens? You start to be seasoning, jumping up and down. Whoever we see, we try to find out if there is any way I can make my salat better. I read you a couple of ahadith to see from A'imma that how people who were worried about their salat, what were they doing? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, there was that. كان السلف لا يزالون يشتغلون بين وقت الفرض الى وقت الفرض. Means people before you لا يزالون يشتغلون من وقت الفرض الى الوقت. Between the two salat they will not waste their time في اصلاح فرضين جميعا في إخلاص حتى يأتوا بالفرزين جميعا. I have not written the meaning of it as word by word, but I can see from what it says is people before you. This is, I think, one of Imams. I have not noted even which Imam, but as I said, it is for me. It's always the same. It doesn't matter which Imam has said it. They are all Nurul Wahide. Says the people before you. There were people before you who between two salat, for instance, Salat al-Fajr to Salat al-Zuhr. They were never wasting your time. And they were doing everything to make sure they can make their salat better. So they were going learning, asking, reading, whatever it takes to make your salat better. So they were doing everything to make sure their salat become, from this salat to other salat, they can make something, they can learn something so they can improve their salah. Okay? So this is how a person who has got problem with his salah, he will do. He will use any means, he will try to find anybody, any book, any material to find out what is the best to help his salah. And in fact, as I said, the issue is salah is everything. It is not, if our salah is good, everything else is good. If our salah becomes harab, if you say salah, Allahu Akbar, and then you are all in the thinking of other things that you had in your life, daily life, about your problem of your children, problem of your health, problem of your wealth, problem of whatever. If we are like that, in salah, we are like that in everything else. We will be like that in our hajj, we will be like that. So basically, salah is not one thing you just take away and separate it. Thank you very much. Separate it and think, okay, if I can make this okay, if I can improve my salah, then I have to go and see how I can improve my hajj, how I can improve my zakat, how I can improve my soul. The whole notion is, it is our level of existence that is what is it should be improved, so that all of this will sorted out. All these problems will be sorted out. You have to see, this is the verse, clear verse of Quran. إِنَّ السَّلَاةَ تَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Right? You have to see, when we do salat, do we still go back after this salat? We reach to the same munkar. Do we do it? Or this time, because of the salat, because of the focus I've had in salat, I start this time to pause, to hesitate. Oh no, I was just doing salat. How can I do this? If I'm like that, then my salat is working. If I do my salat, I go back and I do exactly the same things I was doing, so that means this is not salat. If anyone is like that, yes, you have to be worried about his salat. Of course, I'm always worried about my salat. May Allah help me to get to that stage that I be sizzling, and I become like when I'm told if I have a sickness, what I do in that, I will do the same thing for my salat. The very important thing about this is issue of qasb. You all know what is qasb?
No.
Qasbi is when you say something is qasbi. Ain sad be. It's Arabic. Right? Qasb is when you use somebody else's thing without his permission. That is called qasb. Not necessarily a stealing. If let's say, if somebody's, let's say, if this jacket is not mine, and it's come and it's here, and I wear it and I start my salat, because I don't know whether the owner of this jacket is happy with me to use it, then it becomes qasb. Okay? Let alone that if I know that the person is not happy, then it is issue of qasb. Okay? So, in issue of qasb, we have so much waswas. You know waswas, right?
Yeah.
That we make sure we do not, our clothes is not qasbi, our sajjada is not qasbi, our house is not qasbi, right? We make sure that none of these are qasbi in our salat. But the biggest qasb that is happening in our salat and we do not even notice it is qasb of heart. What does that mean? You call it qasab, right? Qasab, qasab. I said that. No. Ghain, sad be. Okay? So, the biggest qasab which is happening in our salat is qasab of our heart. Because we have, see, qalbul arshullahi, qalbul mu'min. Qalb of mu'min is the arsh of Allah. Qalb of mu'min is the place that we only have to allow Allah in it. Isn't it? But refer to your hearts. See what other things other than Allah is in your heart. And we have to find first whether at all Allah is in our heart or not. Firstly, I have any doubt for myself that number one, if Allah is in my heart or not. If Allah is in my heart, then I say Allah Akbar in my salat, I don't remember anything other than Allah. But when in my heart is full of my love for my children, for my grandchildren, for my car, for my house, for all of the other things that I love, so that means Allah is not in my heart. Then that is when our heart is qasbi, and you are doing salatul qasb. Salatul qasb, Because your salat must be with your heart. And your heart is occupied by things other than Allah. And heart is only the place for Allah. Allah, there are many ahadiths which I have not noted any of them here, but I remember by the meaning of them, all of them are referring to the same thing, that Allah says, nothing will fit in the heart of, I will fit in nowhere. Allah says, I will fit in nowhere. No mountain, no earth, no planet, no universe can contain me, but the heart of mu'min can contain me. That means heart of mu'min can have Allah in it. So there are many ahadiths like that which Allah says, I am Qayyur. Qayyur, I don't know how what you understand from it in Arabic and in English. Qayyur is the state of a person. For instance, this is example, just to give you an example. Let's say when a man has got a wife and his wife is very beautiful and another man looks at him. What that state in the other man, that's called ghayrat. Do you understand? Okay, there is hadith which Allah has got ghayrat, does not go into the heart of a person which another thing exists there. Right? Do you understand this? So Allah also has ghayrat in this sense, not in the sense of my example, that was just to make you understand the word. Ghayrat in the sense that if we have anything in our heart other than Allah, Allah doesn't come in it. So we have to first clean the house so that Allah can come in. So we have to be very careful about the issue of ghasb and salatul ghasbi. And also a hadith from Imam alayhi salam, he says, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, احذر ان تتع بساط ملك احذر ان تتع بساط ملكون الا بالذل والافتقار. Means, don't go to the kingdom or to the palace of a king except with the fear and with that feeling that we have from very great people, very powerful people. We have a certain feeling which is called khashiyat in qalb, in our heart. You understand khashiyat? Khashiyat and khuzu. Khuzu and khashiyat. That's a type of fear that we have from powerful being, for powerful king, okay? He says, Imam says, don't go to the palace of a king except in the state of iftiqar, means absolute poverty, feeling of poverty, not financial poverty, in everything that you do not have anything when you go into the kingdom or to the palace of that person. This is similar to us when we go to the kingdom of Allah. When we start our salat, we are going to the domain of Allah. Do not go except with absolute poverty in your heart. We cannot enter salat, say Allah Akbar, with full of pride that, look, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I have given so much charity, I have given so much, helped so many people, I have done this. So if you go with that feeling in heart, we go to Allah, we go to salat, that is opposite of what Imam says. We do not go in, we do not get anywhere. وَأَخْلِصْ حَرَكَاتِكَ مِنَ الرِّيَا. Means أخلص حركاتك من الرياء, means purify your أعمال from رياء. What is رياء? You all understand what is رياء? Show off. Right? Do not do any show off. Okay? So, and سرك من الغصابة, and your secret, your within, your bottom, purify it from غصابة. غصابة means what? A roughness of the heart is called qasawat. Qasawat. So what I wanted was to warn you, you not get excited that you go and from tomorrow you say, no, for 40 days I don't want to eat anything, and put some flour and water together. And from the other side of it also, do not become, we should not continue what we are. We have to gradually try to make ourselves better. So, less sleep, less eat, and less shahwat of any type. That is what which makes our salat a worthy salat. And how to measure it? When we start our salat, we have to see where is our mind. Where are we flying in our mind? That is exactly what our salat is. And from Ayma it says, your salat, only that part of your salat is accepted. Remember, correctness and acceptability is two things. Correctness, you can say our salat, all correct. But acceptability, I have read hadith before for you about it. Acceptability is only as much as you are with Allah in your salat. Okay, if somebody is only 10 seconds with Allah in his salat, only 10 seconds of his salat is accepted. The other 90%, the other time of the salat is his. But we have to work towards it. Remember, don't get hopeless. You have to work for it. So I was quoting Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when you go, he says, when you go to the palace of a king, go with full iftighar, faqr, and the feeling of nothingness, that you don't have anything from yourself. Well, khashiyat wa ta'zim. Well, khashiyat, which is again that fear of Allah. And ta'zim. Ta'zim means when you hold the person up that you're going to, you hold him very high. That's ta'zim. Giving azamat to him. وَأَخْذِ حَرَكَاتِكَ مِنَ الرِّيَا and do purify your a'mal from show-off سِرِّكَ مِنَ الْغِسَابَ and your batin from قِسَابَت which I just said what makes قِسَابَت فَإِنَّ غَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُسَلَّى مُنَاجٍ رَبَّهِ مُسَلِّي الْمُسَلِّي مُنَاجٍ رَبَّهِ the person who is in salat is doing najwa, is doing munajat with Allah. Munajat. Munajat when you talk to somebody and then you tell all your things to him, then to ask all your things from him, that is called a state of munajat. Supplication, yeah, it's like supplication. Yeah, it's like supplication. Yeah, supplication is munajat.
Some of them are confused now. Because in one part you say like, keep your mind clear of all your problems and...
No, Avin, I did not say, I only explained the meaning of munajat. I did not say when you start your salat, start to ask Allah. I didn't say that. I was explaining, giving the definition of munajat. Munajat is an state when you talk to someone, you're so close. It comes from the word najwa. Najwa is when you talk very, very, with very low volume, you talk... You know what I mean? When you talk to somebody, when you whisper in somebody's ear, that is najwa. Munajat comes from that. And that happens only between two people who are very close. Najwa, it doesn't happen. Razuniyaskana. Yeah, but that's Farsi, they don't understand Razuniyaskana. It's right, Razuniyas. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you are doing munajat with Allah when you are in salat. That means, what does that mean? That means, you are not talking to your auntie or to your uncle or to your father. What happens when we talk to other normal people? We do not observe everything properly, right? We talk casual, we do not, depending on what they are, we do not always do ta'zim of them in our heart, we do not feel very great of them, isn't it? This is when we talk with other people. But when we talk with Allah, Prophet says you are talking munajin rabbah. Musalli munajin rabbah. He's talking to Allah. We have to see how we talk. Allah. So the important, I want to gradually close this topic for today, but I want to bring it again to our daily life. Look, bring all of these things that you learn. Once I ask you, Alhamdulillah, that you have never done any of these things, the things I have asked you, I'm becoming very nagging, right? That I said, please do make discussion groups for Mubahasa, and in those, one of the things I ask you to see, what is the application of the things you learn in your daily life. That's very important. If it remains only in the level of listening and learning, you will soon forget it, unless it comes to practice. When it comes to practice, you have to see our daily life. When we do salat, we have then also watch our life. What are the things that we do during the day? From the morning when we get up, until the night when we go to bed. We have to monitor it. See, there are four things which is asked about. If a person wants to call herself salik. Salik means a person who walks on the way of Allah. Has to do at the beginning of the day, musharateh. Musharata means to do shart, to make condition for himself. He tells himself, watch, today you are going to this place, don't pay any attention to this. If that person, not that because they are all ladies, there is no man here, so I'll give examples for ladies. If that non-mahram told you, come and have a cup of coffee, do you reject it? No. If you are told, you have eaten your lunch and you are asked again to eat, no, you reject it. You cannot have twice. You shouldn't eat twice at the same time. If you are, all these things you have to monitor. It's called musharata. At the beginning you say it. You don't say it because what happens? When we go out, when we face these things, we always start to justify. Make justification for ourselves. That for having this coffee, yes, okay, we are talking. Having another lunch, yes, okay, I had only 40 spoons. I can have, we have a saying in Farsi, we say, what a fool person who cannot take another 40 spoons. Right? So we shouldn't be like them. So when we are full, we do not eat. In Farsi we say, چه گرسنه‌ایه که 40 تا لقمه دیگه نتونه بخوره. Yeah, that's the same thing I said in English. What a fool person who has eaten in full who cannot take another 40 spoons. So you have to monitor. That's called musharakah. And then when we go to in the daytime we start, we enter the state of muwazabah. Muwazabah, we have to watch ourselves all the time. Okay, remember, Sayyid, you told yourself today, this morning when you started, you said you are not going to go to this place, you are not going to go to that place, you are not going... One of the things that I always remind myself of to do, not wasting your time. What are you doing now? You are not doing anything? Get up, do something, read something, listen to something, talk to somebody, talk to your wife, talk to your children. We should not waste our time. So, muwazabah, from the morning, when we go out, we look after our own things. There are certain things that without any doubt, we know that they are, we should not do them. Some of the things we are doubtful about them. Some of the things is very clear, we have no doubt. You have to make a list of them. Put it in your pocket, put it in your bag. Because we tend to forget. This is a physical thing. When we get used to something, even when we do it, it does not occur in our mind that is haram. And one of the very, very clear examples that unfortunately in these countries is ikhtilat of mahram and non-mahram. This is very prevalent because the environment is like that. It's difficult to maintain this harim of mahram and non-mahram. So we do from the morning till night. I tell you, there is nothing, I can tell you this much now, later on inshallah, there is nothing against all of these talks that we have had, which is disengagement, right? Disengagement. You want to become mujarrad. Jarrad qulubakum min kulli shaghil. Imam Sadiq says, make your heart disengage from anything which keeps it busy. So during the whole life, what are we doing? We are trying to go on the process of disengagement. There is nothing which is worse, more against this issue of disengagement than ikhtilat, interaction of mahram and non-mahram. You don't know now why. You do not understand why. But inshallah, if we further study ma'rifat enough, then we learn why. But, so this is the foremost and most important thing that we have to do muwazabah about. If we do muwazabah about this, you will see. So, what do you think I did? So that is the point. When we are caught in this sort of situations, what helps us is the pledge in the morning we had done, in the morning when we had done the pledge. With that pledge, remember I've told you this in Dua Not Be. In that pledge, we always have to make our pledge with Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Imam Zaman is the very present being with us. Everywhere he is with us. Right? We have to, as I said, write down a note on your, wherever you see first in the morning when you get up. Whether it's on your closet, on the door of your closet, whether it's on your desk or wherever you go. Put that remind of yourself that, oh Imam Zaman, I know you are watching me and you are seeing me. If anyone does any doubt in this? I don't think, as this is part of a strong belief of Shia, that Imam Zaman exists and can see all of us. So, remind yourself of it. So when you do pledge, that in your pledge seek the assistance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Then in those situations, then you remember that you have pledged to Imam Zaman. No matter what happens here, if you are in, if I was invited for dance, no matter what happens, I have to see who I'm going to please. That is, so this is called mawazibah. And at the end of the evening, when you go, we are preparing ourselves to go to bed. The third thing is muhasibah. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Hasibu qabla an tuhasibu." Make your accounts ready yourself before you are being audited. Before you are audited, you do your own accounting yourself. So, hasibu qabla an tuhasibu. This is called muhasibah. And what is the last one? Mu'aqibah. Mu'atibah. Also, is mu'aqibah means the same thing, doesn't it?
No.
Now, but I say mu'aqibah. Yeah, punishment. Mu'aqibah. Mu'aqibah is what? Mu'atibah is mu'aqibah or both the same thing? No, meaning are different. I'm saying for this issue, either you can blame yourself or you can do uqubat of yourself. But what I'm saying is, what I'm adding is you have to do mu'aqibah, not mu'atibah. Mu'atibah is not enough. Mu'atibah is not enough. I cannot say every night, and I do the same thing, especially when I have a strong habit in something. Every night I say, oh, look at when I'm doing my muhasibah. I say, again, you have done this? I say, blame on you, shame on you, Sayyid. And next day I do the same thing, right? And next day, so I get used to this muhasibah. What I have to do, I say, I take your advice. Because you are right, not everybody may not be as shameless as I might be. Because I'm with mu'atibah is only enough. But if you did mu'atibah, that means mu'atibah means blaming yourself. And mu'atibah did not help, then you have definitely must enter mu'aqibah. Mu'aqibah means do punish yourself. How? For instance, what does bother you very much? For instance, say, for different people it's different. For a very wealthy person, I cannot say every time you have crossed your pledge to pay $10 to Ahlul Bayt Foundation or $10 at charity. Because there might be wealthy people, $10 doesn't bother them and they can do that $100 a day. Right? So you have to be what is more difficult for you. Let's say some people may say, if I did these two things which were very bad, I do one day of fasting. Or somebody might say, I do 10 times 20 rakat salat for it. Depends on what. But you have to choose the level of mu'aqibah and punishment yourself. The level must be set in a certain way. That number one is doable. You cannot say something that you cannot do it. If you say every time I pay $100,000, so it becomes spoiled, the whole thing. Or if you say I pay one penny a day, so everyone can pay one penny a day. Then becomes again another game. So that you have set the mu'aqibah in a way that it pinches you. Right? If it's money, if in 1 week you had to pay 3 days, it pinches you. Then you are out of the money. So that way you will keep to your promise. So it is musharata, mubazibah, musharata. Mubazibah, which is same as muhasibah, and mu'atibah, as Umm Nur said. And if it didn't work, mu'aqibah. And if still it didn't work, what do you do? Mu'atibah. No, please, we don't have such a thing.
What's the meaning of mu'atibah?
Mubazibah. No, I didn't say mu'atibah. Mubazibah, as I said, everyone's mubazibah is different. Some people's mawazibah is in action. Of course, I would say because you are all young, and also because we are starting these sessions very recently, we should start from our daily physical actions. Mawazibah from that. There are some people that their mawazibah would be in the level of their imagination, because they do not have anything in physical rituals or in physical action. Everything they do is properly and correctly. But for us, it's not like that. This is not our level yet. Some people, mubazibah goes even to mubazibah of aqh, intellectual mubazibah. That is also not level, our level. Our level is our daily mubazibah. Daily mubazibah is when, as I said, I give examples of, when I say, From the very morning when I'm wearing my clothes, it comes the issue of hijab. Between two, see, there are many ways we can have our hijab, isn't it? But we are not cheating ourselves. When I say we are not cheating ourselves, what I mean by that, we know what is the purpose of hijab. But what is the purpose of hijab? The purpose of hijab is not to make other people look at us and enjoy. This is, am I doing just to have the zahir of hijab or batin of hijab? Zahir of hijab is to hide my hair and only my face to be visible, and my foot from ankles here. Okay, so if I wear whatever, it doesn't matter. That's one way of looking at hijab. The other way is, I have to wear in a way that I do not catch the eyes of an opposite sex. That's basically, that's why we have hijab. The ladies have hijab. Okay, so that way you can, then you choose. In Iran, of course, this is not for New Zealand. This is not applicable to New Zealand. But in Iran, this issue comes between chador. You know what is chador? Chador, that thing that Iranians, a lot of Iranians, they wear. Between chador and manto. Some people do not, they say, okay, especially if manto is very tight. They say, you have to choose. Imam Ali alayhi salam has given a measure. If between the two things you want to choose, you choose the more difficult one. The one which is more difficult for you. Why? Because the whole thing we are talking, if you go for many days and weeks and months and even years, discuss about all of these things, you will see there are certain elements which is always there. One of the elements which is the fundamental of all of these talks is all the time we have to suppress our nafs. Suppression of nafs is the key fundamental issue for expansion of our wujud. So that is why it comes, when it comes to, okay, I can have hijab like this or like that, I wear it like this. So that it's more difficult to me, I don't like it, but I take it because it has more difficulty in my nafs. So until then, okay, this is when we want to go out, we go to university, or some of us may go to work. There we have got the same thing. We start to see people. Okay, those people, as I said, I always have a lot of emphasis on this issue. I cannot help it because I have learned so. I have become convinced too that the issue of mahram and non-mahram is the one of the most fundamental things. And as I've told you this, I've heard it from everyone who say that, of course, there is no doubt about it. I don't have to prove it here now. But this is one of the things we have to make sure we look after it during our interaction from the day to night until we come back home. In these interactions, we keep the interaction with non-mahram to minimum. I'm not saying that if they talk to us, we shouldn't talk. But the point is, we have to find ways around it. When I first came to New Zealand, I checked. My friend tells me, come to my birthday party. And I know in her birthday party, there are boys and girls, they are mixed up and they all dance. It does not suffice if I say, okay, I don't dance. I sit and look. I sit and watch. But I'm in that environment. So that is, then you should not complain about your namaz. If your salat is not salat the salat you want, you should not complain. Because we know, then what Amu said? That means that we have to cut off from everyone else. No, you have to have your own crowd. That's the point. We have to have our own crowd. Our own crowd is different. You have to interact with each other. We have to go to the birthday party of another Muslim friend. We have to accept the invitation of another Muslim friend. Or there are some non-Muslims also which they do not do these things. We can do. So once the moment we get on the track of feeling shy of expressing our own ways of thinking and rituals and habits, if we cannot resolve that, we cannot get away with it. So if you cannot do it, I tell you what, leave this country. If you still want to maintain your identity, if you still want to be able to tell Allah after your death, if you want to tell Imam Zaman about it, explain about the things you said, but you think this country is difficult and you are not, it is not your cup of tea, so to speak, don't leave this country. Because this is verse of Quran. In Quran says, that arzullah wasi'atun fatuhajiru. This is about for the people who find it difficult in certain countries and lands to live with still keeping their religion to them, still abiding by their religion. Allah says, arzullah wasi'atun, the land of Allah is big, is vast. To travel, go from this land to a land whereby you can have your religion observed. So inshallah, this is Mawazibah. I talk about Mawazibah more in practical terms next week again. Inshallah, I ask the assistance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Do come to our morning Friday prayers, Dua Not Baby Han. It's good because, wallah, I have read so many ahadith that in Akhir Zaman, which we are in at the moment, in this time that we are living, there is so much fitna. You know fitna? You understand, Alvin? No, fitna. No, it's not gossip. Fitna is a situation where people put into difficulties and their belief is being tested. For instance, for me, who went to that dinner, for that lunch business, with that person wanting to get up from his table who was drinking, was a fitna because he could have got offended and not sold me the product I want to buy from him and sell to my market and make money. That was the beginning of my business. That was fitna. But because I had that strong belief that my ruzi, my sustenance will come from Allah, He will manage it from somewhere which I don't know. We read it in Ta'qibat Namaz Asha. Allahumma innahu laysa li ilmun bi mawzi'i rizqi. Oh Allah, I do not know where is my rizq. Fa khataratun taqtur ala qalbi fa ajulu fi talabi al-buldan. Wa ana we say explain that we don't know where it is. We look for our sustenance in the sea, in the land, in the skies, here, there. So we don't know. We don't need to look for it. We have to only believe Allah will bring it into your way. So this is called fitna. You're in a situation that you are being tested. So there is a lot of ahadith which about Imam Zaman, which in our dua, Friday mornings after dua, I half an hour is talk about these issues. That every mu'min, without exception, every mu'min in the fitna of Akhir Zaman is caught. I tell you how. You don't need to go further. You cannot. None of you can exclude yourself. Neither me. This, the fact that you have access to internet is fitna. Not that internet is bad, but you are being tested. Depends on what you do on internet. Whether you go and see so many things that you can learn on, that's one way. But unfortunately, internet is not doing that. It's not that the only use of it for everyone. It has come to all people's house. It has come even to our little room there, you cannot even away from that. Still you have that, all those things with you. So fitna akhir zaman is so important. We have to seek the help of Imam Zaman alayhi salam to help us during the whole day. We can keep away from them. I leave 10 minutes for any question if there is there, and then we finish. By Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.